Sunday night. Shara Bitachin. Okay. Last week we made sort of a transition between my giving a speech, a synopsis, and we went back to a little more text based. And so I guess I'll get feedback if we'll move much more quickly, hopefully, than the first time around. We're in Perek Shlishi of Shaar HaBitachon, and he says that he has, again, the Chavisal Vovos makes lists. Maybe that's another name, Chavisal Vovos, the Book of Lists. He says there's five things, he calls it hakdamas, five introductions, five phases you have to go through in order to develop full-fledged bitachon. And number one is obvious by now. Number one is to internalize and realize that all the seven things we talked about of Perek Beis, which make it logical and reasonable to rely on someone, they all exist in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't exist in anyone else. And it makes it, again, I'll use the word logical and reasonable, to have trust in Hashem, if all these seven things are true. So number one is to realize that, to internalize and realize that all seven things are true about Hashem. Now, he goes through the seven things again. We won't go through them again, except when we're not going to go through them. It's just sometimes he makes a new point that he really didn't make in the second parak for some reason. For example, in the first thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us and has rachmonos on us, he makes an interesting point that whoever does have rachmonos on us in the natural flow of the world, of the natural flow of events, our parents, for example, our spouses, and it's all a reflection of Hashem's rachmonos. Knows Hashem is the makor harachamim. And if he set up the world that a mother has rachmonos on a child, or a father has rachmonos on a child, and so on and so forth, any relationship of rachmonos, of chesed, of chanina, is really, you have to think of it as Hashem is sending down that shefa of chanina, of goodwill, of chen, and he's channeling it through these people. That's a point he makes. He it's almost a throwaway line. So that's, I'm not saying it's a chiddush, but it's an insight that he hadn't said in the second parak. Now, if anyone's following along inside, so for some reason, and I don't know why, the Chavis Halvavus in Perek Gimel, when he goes over the seven things of Perek Beis, he mixes up, he gives a different order. And I looked through the Mefarshim, I thought about it, I see no real reason why he did that. I don't see a reason why he did it. So he gives a different order. So if you're following along, number two in Perek Gimel, if you don't recognize it, and if you're following along in the Sefer, when he says number two, it's number four. It's number four in the second parak, that Hashem knows what's best for us. He's the manufacturer of the machine. He has, and he knows how to make the machine function the best. He just has a much broader scope than we do, right? Just like if you go to a doctor and he gives you a medicine and he's not aware of an allergy, chas v'shalom, right? So the medicine can be bad for you, not good for you, because it causes an allergic reaction. And if you go just to an allergist, so he's not going to know how to prescribe other things. There's all sorts of side effects. We all know almost every medicine, if it's not natural, maybe even natural, the side effects, because the body is not being treated. Al kaponim, but Hashem knows what's best for us, and that's principle number two, which in the second parak, when he enumerates the principles that makes it possible for you to have Pitachon and someone who was number four. Okay, we're moving on, because that's really where we left off last. last week. Number three happens to be number three, and that's just the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient, omnipotent. No one can stop him from doing Kol HaShachofetz Hashem Asa, he says. So you don't have to worry, like, well, Hashem wants me to have more money, but what can I do? My boss is a stingy guy. Now, this is maybe a chiddush, because many people refer to a Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who seems to say in Chumash that a person through Bechira can choose to do evil, even he seems to say, and people are very fond of quoting it, they say, what about the HaChaim HaKadosh, who says that evil people can do evil even if it was not Nigzar in Shemayim, which is a way of, to put it in a prosta way, it's saying that a person's Bechira is stronger than Hashem. Right? That's what it's saying. Now, first of all, it's questionable if the Rechayim indeed says that or means that. And even if he does, it's a singular shita against virtually every other Rishon, every other Achron, that it really goes against the nature of Hashem and what we know about Gzeros and Shemayim. So I wouldn't concern myself with it. But when the Chayvus Halvava says, and it's questionable even if he means it, he doesn't exactly say that, but Akoponim, when the Chayvus Halvava says to internalize and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, so it means, and that's what it means. It means that even a person through his Bechira cannot, there has to be a Gzeira, like we say in Mitzrayim, someone can choose to do evil, HaVei Shluchem Amokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something, Chalila, to befall someone, so Megalgulin Chus Adidei Zakai, we say Megalgulin Chayv Adidei Chayav. The person who's choosing to do evil will do it, but that doesn't excuse him from doing it, and he could not do it if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not will it to happen. So that's number three. Number four in Perek Gimel is number two in Perek Beis, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly looking at us and constantly is concerned about us and is involved in our lives. It's a very, you know, it sounds easy to say, but it's really like HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's happening in my life. He knows the problems I'm having. He cares about the problems I'm having. And it's hard to internalize it. He brings out a famous pasuk in Navi. We said it in Haftarah. It's a song, right? I mentioned that. I'm not going to break out in song. Lomo tomar Yaakov usdaber Yisrael. Nistra darki me Hashem o me'alekai mishpati yavor. This is how Klal Yisrael, right? Klal Yisrael says, Hashem forgot about us. Hashem, halo yadatem lo shemata alekei olam Hashem borek tzos ha'orech lo yiev lo yigay cheker lusvonoso. All the circumstances of your life, Hashem is there. Yes, Hashem is watching. It's hard because little old me, like, and I had a fight with my neighbor, you know. Hashem's like, that's it. That's what the Goyim, much of Avodah Zorah started because of the inability to really believe that Hashem is so concerned with the mundane narishkeiten of everyday life. So they said it can't be. Ramal kol Goyim Hashem al Hashemayim kvodo. Right, and therefore they said there must be. He gave over the running of the world to intermediaries. Hashem is kulo ruchni, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. What's he getting involved in here? And it really is amazing, and it's part of our belief system, and it's part of chaste Hashem. That he cares about everything that goes, he created us, and he cares about what happens to us, and he sets up our lives in a certain way so that we could develop, and that's all part of our belief system, and that's the fourth thing. So again, that's one of the seven things. The fifth thing is that no one can harm and hurt me if Hashem doesn't want it to happen. And now it means even help me. In other words, you can't have full faith in Hashem. You can't fully rely on Hashem if you say, you know, well, either Hashem will help me or my rich uncle. like one of the two. So then you're not fully relying on Hashem, and you can't develop reliance on Hashem if you think that there's someone else that could help you that's not just a shliach of Hashem. He'll develop this thought later on in the perek a bit more, he'll elaborate on it a bit more. But his point here is that it's singular. It has to be singular to Hashem. To be able to rely on someone, and Mela Hashem, it has to be that there's no one else that can affect what he decides to do. Or else how can you rely on someone if there's someone else that could, right, that could spoil, that could stop, or someone else that can help you, so you're not going to fully rely on this being. The sixth is really, the sixth seems to be number seven of the second perek, where he says that we have to think about the tovos that Hashem did for us even when we're undeserving. If you remember, number seven in the second perek was that Hashem will do things for us even if we're undeserving. And if we think about that, he did things for us from when we were born, when we were certainly undeserving. And all the things we did in our lives, and as we grew up, and then we didn't exactly do what we were supposed to do, but Hashem was there for us, and he has a track record of helping us even if we didn't deserve it. So that's one of the seven things, and that's, he repeats it here. He tells you to go back to Shaar HaBechina and think about that, meaning the wonders of the universe, the physical world, the beauty of the physical world, the completeness of the physical world, whether it's the laws of, you know, a scientist finds great beauty in the laws of physics. When you're sitting in a classroom and you're getting tested on it, maybe you don't think of it as being beautiful. You're just trying to to cram the knowledge into your head for the test. What's the formula? But a good scientist is really as beautiful as a sunset is. So when a scientist like realizes the forces of nature and how they stem and how they fit, and I don't know, electromagnetism and all these things, and the world and gravity, and it causes this, and it rains, and the rain cycle, that's his sense of beauty. It's more of an intellectual one, but he experiences Hashem. There's different personalities, the truth is. An artist, someone with a tchunas nefesh of an artist, will experience and see Hashem in beauty in the world. And a more scientific-minded intellectual will experience Hashem through the beauty of mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, the world, the universe. So he tells you to think about these things, and you realize that it's Hashem grants it even though the world or people are undeserving. Now we come to the seventh thing in Perek Shlishi. And I challenge you ladies, if you're following, that to tell me which of the seven things, this is a pella. Which of the seven things of Perek Beis, remember, in Perek Beis he said, these are the seven things you need to be able to trust in anyone. Perek Gimel says, here are the five things you need to think about and internalize and realize and believe and really understand in order to develop full bitachon in Hashem. Here are the five things. Number one is to realize that the seven things I just talked about in Perek Beis all exist by Hashem. And then he goes through them in a somewhat mixed up order. Now we're up to number seven. And I challenge you to tell me which of the seven things in Perek Beis is number seven in Perek Gimel. It doesn't match. Number one is number one. Number two is number four. Three is three. Four is two. Five is six. Six is probably number seven, because he uses the same words, that Hashem does it even if we're undeserved. So that leaves number 5 unaccounted for. But I don't know. Let's see number 7, and it doesn't seem to match. He says, you really have to believe everything that happens in the world, whether it seems inherent, meaning the natural laws of the world, gravity, let's say, or something occurred in your life or in history, and it looks like this cause and effect. We live in a world of cause and effect, and everything looks like it's cause and effect. This happened because of this. I lost my job because of this. I got sick because of that. Right? Everything is cause and effect. The war started. Why did this war happen? Because, right? History. I've said in shul many times, maybe I've said it here many times, so forgive me if I have, that it took me a while, and I had a Rebbe that helped me understand it. The evil of newspapers, okay, maybe it's the pictures, and it's waste of time, and it's who knows what's written there, what kind of newspaper. I grew up in New York, you know, we had the Daily News and the New York Post. But the real evil of newspapers is that they take you away from Hashem. They pull you away because everything in the newspaper is explained as cause and effect. It's the news. This happened because of this. This happened because of that. And right, and everything is presented as cause and effect, as natural. And you lose sight of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Not just running the world, but the Chavis HaLodos emphasizes everything's a gvul. If someone's supposed to live for 62 years, that's it. Not a day more, not a day less. If someone's supposed to grow to be 5'3", that's it. You can do what you want. He's not going to be taller or shorter. Everything has a mikra and a gvul mesuyim. Lo yosef lo yigrel masha gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether it's in kamus or in echos or in zman or in makom, Ein mi sheyarbe l'mashe gozer miyuto, v'lo memayit l'mashe gozer ribuyo, lo ma'acher mashe gozer haktomoso, lo maktim l'mashe gozer ichuro. And if it looks like something new happened, something changed. Oh, look, something did change. Didn't go. But Hashem was gozer, it should change, not the sibos. The sibos are not the real sibos. Whenever something happens, if something's nishtane, if something in the world changes, you change matzovim, something happens to you. So it's not what it seems, meaning the cause is not what the cause, that's not the real cause. That's all Hashem's doing. It's all Hashem, that's how Hashem works. Hashem works through shluchim, just like we talk about Hashem working through malachim. So Hashem works through shluchim. So Hashem maneuvers, right? Hashem can send a bag of money down the chimney also, right? And I can become rich. So Hashem doesn't work that way. Hashem makes it that someone likes me and offers me a job and it pays well, and all of a sudden I get a Yerusha, and all of a sudden this, and all of a sudden that, and all of a sudden I have money. But it's the same as if Hashem sent a bag of money down. That's all we can. You have to realize that. You have to have bitachon. You can't rely on Hashem unless you realize that everything is nigzar from Him, that everything is manipulated, maybe is the right word. We're puppets. Everybody's puppets. And Hashem is maneuvering because Hashem made a gzeira. Hashem wants you to be happy. Hashem wants you to be sad. Hashem. Everything is nigzar, take out the Gemara, except here's the irony. The irony is that everything is nigzar, rich, poor, smart, foolish, right? Comfortable, uncomfortable, healthy, sick, it's all nigzar. What's not nigzar? And everything, the Chavis HaLodos says, everything very specifically, with a gvul, with a when it's going to start and when it's going to stop. If you have a pain for a day and a half, you could be sure, it's hard, you could be sure it's because there was a gzeira, that you should have a pain for a day and a half, and it came to a stop when it was supposed to stop. Except for what? Except for your ability to choose to do good or to do not good, to do what you're supposed to do or to not do what you're supposed to do or to do what you're not supposed to do. That's HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyor Shemayim. So what do people spend their lives doing? They spend their lives, unfortunately, too many people, not everyone, of course, but too many people are focused on what they can't change, what's not going to change. They're not going to get richer or poorer if they spend a lot more time in the business. And they leave off, they don't focus on what they could change, what they were given to do, the tasks they were given to do, they don't take care of. And they try to work on something that it's foolhardy, then they're wasting their time. And the Chavis HaLovis goes on to say that if you think about it, really, the cause and effect that exists, the seeming cause and effect, really is not rational or logical. If you think about even how food grows, that's the marshal he gives. How from one kernel of wheat, you could end up with hundreds of kernels, right? That grows a stalk, and the stalk has another 30 kernels, and then each kernel has another 30 kernels, whatever the numbers may be. So he says, you know, logically, that doesn't make sense as cause and effect. It doesn't make sense that one kernel can end up with 1,000 kernels. One kernel begets 1,000. How did one kernel have a koach? Or to bring it down to earth another way, right? If you think how wars break out, or how people get rich, or how people get poor, and you look at the sibas that brought them about, you say to yourself, you know, it's like we had a guy in yeshiva once, you know, so he was an older bach, he wasn't getting married. So, you know, they say he's shy, or he should get his glasses. His glasses make him look, you know, it's old-fashioned glasses. He should get new glasses. So I said, look, you know, you can get new glasses if you want, it's okay. But, you know, there's people that had old-fashioned glasses that got married. You know, there's people walking around, you see the most unlikely couples walking around, they're married, even though, ooh, he's so quiet, you know, ooh, he's quiet, that's why he's not married. She's shy, she's outgoing, she's brilliant, boys are scared of her. No one else in the world is brilliant, right? Brilliant people get married also. We almost enjoy latching on to sibos. Do you know why this shul is not matzliach? Do you know why this business is not matzliach? He doesn't advertise enough. But if you would stop for a second and go around to other businesses, you'll see they don't advertise more, and they're very matzliach. The things we attribute wittingly or unwittingly, knowingly or unknowingly, we attribute the results to the causes, to the seeming causes. Chavis HaLovis says they're really Gorua and Cholosh. It really is not rational. It doesn't make sense that this begets that. That this is really a cause. If you think, I always bring up like the, you know, the wars, World War One, what brought it about. So in the history books, it's like, oh, this guy was assassinated. Like, yeah, so that brings out a world war where millions and millions of people died. So, that's what the Chavis HaLovis says, and he says, except for your bechira, to do good. That's in your hands. That's what you should be focused on. That's all you should worry about. Don't worry so much. Why do I say so much? Why don't I say not at all? You shouldn't worry at all. That's the truth. Because we will learn about Hishtatlus. We will learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us that we live normal lives and go through the normal motions. Now, you say, Rabbi, what's normal? So I never know how to answer that question, right? People, sometimes I get a phone call asking me if they should take out a full page ad. Maybe they should only take a half a page ad. I never know what the answer. I say that if it's reasonable to, if, you know, studies are made, if indeed people notice a full page ad more than a half a page ad, and that's quantifiable, you can quantify it, it's like it's a specific reality, then go take a full page ad, and it's part of your hishtadlus. But if it's just like, okay, half a page ad gets noticed, but a full page ad gets noticed more, no, that's not, then don't do it. But it's difficult. We're going to learn about hishtadlus later on in the third parak. It's subjective. It's subjective, and also, you know, people can live with different levels of bitachon. Bitachon is a lifetime project. If you walk out of here thinking that just because I give such a great shiur, you're going to have bitachon tonight, you say it's not like that. It's very hard work. We pay lip, a lot of times we pay lip service to it. Akoponim, the Chavetz Chavos wants us to realize, he brings on the Pasuk in Koheles, Lakol Zman Ve'esel Chol Chefetz Tachas HaShemayim Ve'esel Ledes Ve'esel Mus Ve'esel Chama the whole. So the Chavetz Chavos is interpretation of the 28 things they're supposed to. It's not, you know, if you say the Pesukim or you sing the song, what's the name of it? By that group that made a song out of it, right? The birds, what do they call the birds? What? Oh, see, I'm Goyish. You're Jewish, I'm Goyish. The birds made a song out of it. I'm talking about in English, a Goyish song. I mean, not Goyish, it's the words of Kahelis. So we understand, I mean, when I grew, you know, I always understood the words to mean that there's a time and a place for everything, you know. But the Chavetz Chaim doesn't understand it that way. He understands it as a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made very... HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the whole script. He wrote the whole script. And the same things can be going on in the world, and there's Melchama, and there's Shalom, and there's Le'ehov, and there's Lesno, and there's Laledes, and Lamus, and it's all Gzeiros Hashem. And what we see as the prime causes, as the causes, are really just links in the chain. One end of the chain is Hashem, and we're at the other end of the chain. And Hashem decided when someone should be born. He didn't, and you know, in a sense, we're mixing up cause and effect. Chayes Lavovus is saying, in a sense, the effect is the cause. You know, Hashem wanted a certain child to be born, a certain neshama to be brought into the world at 2:08 in the morning, Monday morning, right? Yeah. So these people had to meet and get married and everything that goes on. That happened. You know why that happened? That's the cause is the baby. Eis lo ledes. Hashem said the baby's going to be born at this and this date. So that caused all the things that we think are the cause. And the same. So we mix up cause and effect. We mix up human beings. That's the mistake we make. We say these are the causes of the effect. And really, Ace, he says all the psukim and kahalas are to establish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we can't fathom this, because there are literally, maybe now that there's computers, we can fathom it a little, because there's billions of things going on in the world, right? And billions and quadrillions of things happening. And everything has a chain of events leading to it. So who's keeping cheshbon? So maybe he has a good computer. You say, I really believe that, by the way, that it's a little more fathomable to the human mind when we see that a computer keeps cheshbon, and there's a lot of things going on at one time, and it works. But the Chavis Avodah says the pasuk. Ki gavu shamayim me'oretz, ken gavu durachai midarcheichem, u'machshvolsai mimachshvolseichem. That's at the end of the paragraph of the Hakdama Rishona, the first premise, introduction, that you have to develop bitachon, so that he quotes that pasuk. He says, really, it's unfathomable. If you're zochet to see it in your life, you're very lucky. And it's a big milah. If you're zochet to the right, the Ani Yosef, where you could see that all the things happened, you know, So it's a schus, it's an inspiration. So now my question is, right, sometimes something happens, you say, now I understand why I had to go through all of that, and I see it was good for me, and now I understand. Who knows, like, if you think about how many people had to meet and get married in order that I should exist, right? You think about all the things that had to happen. So now, I'll tell you a pshat I once said about Shidduchim al Bashert. So you say, everything's Bashert. We're learning the Chavis Halvavus now. Everything is a Gzeiros Hashem. So what does it mean that Arbaim Yom Kodem Yetziros HaVlad, Hashem is Oseg with Shidduchim? Everything is Bashert. So maybe I once had a thought as follows, that there's all these things happening in the world, all these things going on in the world, and according to the Chavis HaVlavus, it's all links in the chain. Everything's leading to a certain effect Hashem wants to affect. Hashem wants me to be happy, Hashem, you know, all these things. But not everything in the world, let's say I say Hashem wants me to be in a good mood tonight. So a bunch of things happen to put me in a good mood. But not everything in the world happened to put me in a good mood, right? Not everything's part of that maslul. Most of the things happening in the world are in a different maslul, leading to a different result. It's not all leading to the result that I share. But Shidduchim is not like that.
Isn't a mood Bechira?
What?
Isn't someone's mood Bechira?
It could be, but it also could be not. Sometimes, right, let's say someone is an Avel, right, so they're in a somber mood because something happened to them. You're right, sometimes we're commanded, to be besimcha. So we always have to be besimcha. So you have to put yourself in a good mood. It's true. And sometimes the mood is forced upon us. Akoponim, so the thought I had was that Shidduchim, everything in the world is geared to Shidduchim. Everything in the world is happening because if you think about the people that have to meet and the parents where they lived and where everybody lived and everybody had to get together and sometimes two neighbors, next door neighbors marry and sometimes two people from the end of the world marry, right? So everything in the world that's happening is part of a cheshbon of who's getting married to whom. Everything that happens has that maybe also as a purpose of it happening. And if you think about it again, my father, shalom, right? So he had to go through many things in his life until he met my mother. Right? And like who said they met at one point in time. There was a juxtaposition of these two people meeting. And meeting each other and getting married, and that resulted in me. They say, wow, because it could have so easily happened that he would have ended up 2 miles away or 1 mile away and they never would have met. Or they wouldn't have known the person that knew both of them. Like billions of things. It's staggering. So everything is happening in order that people should get married. Al Capone, that's a thought I once had. But let's get back to the Chavis Halvavus. What's number 7? Which of the 7 things of Perek Beis is number 7 of Perek Gimel? It doesn't seem to be any of them. Hashem cares about us. No, not that. Hashem is involved in our lives. No, not that. Right? And as you go through the... What is... It seems to be a new thought. I'm going to get out my trusty list. Hashem loves us and is merachem on us. No, is always concerned and involved with us. Maybe. He's stronger and smarter than anyone else. He knows what's good for us. He has a track record. Nobody else can help or harm you. And even if you're undeserved, he'll do it for you. So I decided it must be number 5, the track record. In other words, we don't realize when we look back, we don't appreciate. We don't appreciate all that Hashem did for us. And when we internalize that every event that happens in our lives is a gzeira from Hashem. Everything is it's too staggering for us to comprehend. That's what I hold. Or we pay lip service to it. Everything in my life, well, then you start counting all the good things that happened to you. Like, look, you know, Baruch Hashem, some things that I think are bad happened, but, you know, when I was born, I couldn't do much. And look at me today. I'm talking about not me now. We have families, we have tzaras, we have nachas, we have houses, some of us have cars. Like, look, really. And every step of the way, we had to meet people, we had to have mentors, we had to have people that helped us when we needed help. Just when things looked bleak, someone was there to give us chizuk. Right? So, number 5 in Perek Beis, which we talked about. Why is that? Why is it necessary to have a track record? Remember? Number 5 was Hashem has a track record of doing good things to us. And we said, why is that necessary? Why can't I rely on him? Because of all the other things. He loves us and he cares about us and he's stronger and no one can stop him. And he'll do it even if we're not deserved. Even if we don't deserve it, and he's stronger and smarter than anybody else, and he knows what's good for us. What do I need the track record for? So we said, and the Chavis Halbavis is very careful to say this, if you remember, we said, because part of bitachon is serenity. Part of bitachon is that your heart is not thumping. Your heart's not thumping. You're calm, you're serene. It's in Hashem's hands. And psychologically, Hashem... That's what you see from the Chayvus Halvavus. You can call it a chiddush if you want. But that's the pshat in the Chayvus Halvavus. That you won't be calm. Even if you believe, it's amazing. It's an amazing chiddush. Even if you believe all of these things I just said, Hashem loves, but if there's no track record, your heart's thumping. What's going to be? But if you could look back in your life, so you look back in your life and you say, I don't see Hashem. Yeah. So that's this number 7. I think, I don't know, it's a Pella. I didn't see this forum talk about it. The Mefarshim of the Chayvus Halvavus, I didn't see a clear pshat here. Number 7 here in Perek Gimel elaborates that everything is a gzeira from Hashem. And there's nothing you can do to change it. So, that means everything that happened in my life was Hashem's gzeira. That's a darn good track record. I was born without a bank account, without a car, without a wife, without children, without anything, any accomplishment we have, anything we. So that's a good track record. So that's what he's saying here. I think that's my suggestion. Maybe you ladies will come up with a different pshat. That's what I believe number 7 is number 5 of the second parak. Because we think it's cause and effect. That I got a good job, and I went to school, and I got a diploma, and I was friends with this person, and he put in a good word for me, and I was able to, I had a good real estate broker, and I had good friends, and it's all Hashem. So Hashem has a track record. Let's move on a bit. Let's learn one more paragraph tonight, at least. And that's the Hakdama Hashniya. This is an unbelievable point. It's so hard to understand why this is a point. What are the 5 things in the third paragraph? The 5 things are 5 Hakdamas, introductions. I guess it means premises. Premise, what's the plural of premise? Premises? Yeah? Anybody? Yeah? Premises? By the way, tonight's shiur is Lili Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Ben Nosson. I'm sorry, I forgot. Okay. Premises. It's five premises in order to develop full-fledged bitachon. So what's the second premise that you have to develop in order to develop full-fledged bitachon? The second premise is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows not only what we do and what we say, but he knows what we're thinking, and he is aware of the very depths of our, call it, I don't know, subconscious, of our minds. He knows what we're thinking, he knows what we're feeling, he knows what's really going through our minds. And therefore, Chavis Halvava says, Hashem knows if you truly have bitachon or not. Or if you're just talking to talk, you say, Baruch Hashem, Bezos Hashem, Emitz Hashem, right? It flies off our lips very easily. But Hashem knows if we're really there. Hashem knows if we're really there. Hashem yodea machshvel sodom, ki heim ohovel. Halo sochein libos hu yovin. Ato yodato levatcho es levav kol b'nei ha'odom. Now, and he says, when you realize that, so you're not going to be able to say so glibly that you have bitochen. And when you daven Shmona Esrei and you say v'lo nevoshki v'cho batochnu, or you daven and you say Yichastcha Hashem Oleinu Kasher Yichalnu Loch, or you say Kivushem Kotcha V'tochnu, Kivushem Kotcha V'tochnu Yichastcha Hashem Oleinu Kasher Yichalnu Loch, and then you think, so Hashem knows whether you really mean it. My question is, this is all very nice and it's true, and it's probably true, and it's for sure true, and I believe it's true. Why in the world do you have to know this? Do you have to realize it in order to develop full bitachon? And the answer is poshut. It's really, Chavis is brilliant. If you kid yourself, you will never develop full bitachon. It's too easy to kid yourself. It's too easy to say, yeah, Hashem will take care, Hashem will... Meanwhile, you're nervous, the heart's thumping. We make all kinds of hishtadlus that are not just hishtadlus that Hashem wants us to make, but we go that extra step and we go that extra mile. And most importantly, according to the Chavis Halvavos, we worry that extra worry. We're afraid, we're worried, we're concerned, we're scared, we don't know what's going to be. So it's very... You cannot develop full bitachon unless you know that Hashem knows whether you have bitachon or not truly. So you're not going to kid yourself. I think that's his point. And it's an amazing point, and to make it number two, that you have to, I don't know if that's the pshat, I think is pshat. It's too easy to kid yourself. These are the five premises that you need to develop full bitachon. So number two is to realize that Hashem is yodea matzpanus libo, and he knows if you really have bitachon or not, or you're just going through the motions, or you're just saying you have bitachon, but you're scrambling and you're nervous and you're doing, and you're convinced that if you wouldn't do what you're doing, how many people could say that if I open the store a half hour later, I'm going to earn the same amount of money? If we really believed that, then we'd be fools not to open the store a half hour later. Right? But we'll say, well, yeah, but, you know, we're afraid to open the store a half hour later. So it's hard. You're going to say, what? Is Rabbi Lunitz recommending everybody open the store a half hour later? Rabbi Lunitz doesn't recommend anything. But maybe if we had full bitachon, we would open it a half hour later. Unless you can convince me that there are customers that come early in the morning, and it's a normal given by businesses that if you're not open that first half hour, they go to your competitor. And you have to be open when everybody else opens. Now, a person with full bitachon will say, Nairishkeit, how many people a whole year? A whole year, what does that equal? Three people a whole year? Four people a whole year? Hashem is gozer how much money I should have this year. This is not to make it or break it. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying it's all it's very subjective. It's hard to develop the right balance. But I'm giving an example of what of lip service, because when it comes lamaisa, we're afraid to shake, and if I don't do that, it's not going to happen. Don't tell me stories. I do it. If I don't do that, it's very hard. So the second premise is to develop full bitachon. You have to realize that Hashem is peering inside, like a doctor looks in, right? So he looks into our souls, our neshamas, and he knows if we, Chas v'Shalom, he brings down a very harsh pasuk at the end of the paragraph, b'piv u'b'sfosov kibeduni, v'libo richak mimeni. So you think he's talking about a hypocrite who says, you have to keep Shabbos, and then when no one's looking at Chal Shabbos, he's talking about Cholos Halvavos, you have Toys Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. I love Hashem. I never really thought about it. But Avigdor Miller suggests that once a day, when no one's around, you should say, I love you, Hashem. You have to develop love of Hashem. And we say every day, right? And it's Chas v'Shalom. The Gemara says if you say, if a man says, about tefillin and he's not wearing tefillin, it's very bad. He's saying a falsehood. So what about when we all say, V'yahav to eis Hashem alokecha, v'chol levavcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol miyodecha, and do I love Hashem? Do I love Hashem? I don't know. Hashem needs my love? Oh, okay. So it's really an amazing paragraph, and maybe someone else will come up with a different shot. So I gave you two pieces of Torah.